Blog Talk Radio.
If you walk outside your door right now and look at the plants around your house, do you have any clue which plants are edible? After a lifetime of research and over 3 years of putting this together, I have created what I believe to be one of the most foundational books for living on planet Earth. Most human beings have lost touch with nature so much they have no clue anymore how to survive on their own. Did you know wild plants are some of the most powerful food and medicine you could ever have? Every living thing on Earth has a purpose, even the toxic plants. You just need to know which purpose they serve. In an emergency, you need to know this. If you want to seriously improve your health, you need to know this. If you have no more money for food or medicine, you need to know this. This is a book no household should be without. This isn't just about plants you might see in a forest somewhere. I'm talking about the begonias in your window, the grass in your yard, the tree on the corner, and the weeds coming through the cracks. Let's take common grass. Did you know you can make tea out of it? That's right. Grass tea is used as a diuretic for kidney stone prevention, urinary inflammation, incontinence, expelling worms, hemorrhoids, skin conditions like rash. It's also used for lung conditions like bronchitis, colds, fever, infections. The roots can be chewed as a licorice-tasting food or made into a flour and are used for digestive and stomach issues. That's right. Yeah, grass. It's insane what people don't know. This weed is one of the most nutritious, delicious greens there is, even better than spinach. It was used a long time ago by farmers to fatten up their livestock. You probably have 10 different things growing within walking distance of your house right now that are great, healthy, non-caffeine coffee substitutes. Plants that help you quit smoking. Plants that help you lose your desire for alcohol and detox your body while they're at it. What plants are a good substitute for milk or beer or even root beer? What plants make a good perfume? Which ones are good repellents for ants, moths, and mosquitoes? What common weed makes an awesome shampoo and soap? Which plant makes a soap for delicate fabrics that normally can't be washed with harsh chemicals? What's a good plan for bed bugs? This is not just a book for recognizing wild and unknown plants. It's also a dictionary and a health reference guide to all those revolutionary healing herbs you've been hearing so much about and what they're used for. This plant, for example, boosts your sex life so much it's been outlawed in several states. You might not be able to buy it, but it might be growing right there in your neighborhood. Every drug that medicine uses out there was originally made from a plant. Plants can feed you, help heal your health conditions. You can make clothing with them, and you can build your home with them. They can power your electricity and fuel your car. Plants can even protect your home from break-ins. Find out which ones are good for that. It's all in this book. Which plant is good for arguing couples? This plant has wax to make candles with. Which plant has a bubblegum flavor? What plants are good thickeners for soups and food? What common household flowers are edible? It's time we put everything in one book. All the plants. Garden plants, wild plants, potted plants, trees, landscaping, everything. What nuts taste like cheddar cheese when steamed? What common worldwide plant is eaten in India where people have the lowest cancer rates? Sure, wheatgrass is great, but what about crabgrass? What about those amazing and powerful herbs you've heard so much about from South America? Did you know people are growing them in their homes all over the world? When I say edible plants, I mean all plants, because you now have access to all of them everywhere. Geographic region doesn't matter anymore either, because the world is becoming one. People are growing pineapples and goji berries in their own homes, even up north where it's cold. Did you know you can grow kiwis that can handle 30 below zero? I'm about to open up a whole new world for you of unlimited possibilities and put you in charge of having access to any free food and medicine you could ever want, including the most famous healing herbs in the world. I am empowering you here. You're not just at the mercy of what's randomly growing near you. You now have the power to grow almost anything you want, any plant from anywhere in the world on your property, no matter where you live. It's your life. Start grabbing it by the reins and start doing what you want. That's what I'm here for, is to show you how. Why did I include normal grocery store fruits and vegetables in this book? Because there's lots of wild carrots and grapes and asparagus and stuff growing out there, and most people have no clue what a wild carrot even looks like if they saw one, or mustard. If you saw this growing, would you eat it? You know what this is? It's celery. This, on the other hand, is poison hemlock. You got to know the difference. Most people have no clue. We need to start from scratch. When I say edible plants, I mean all edible plants. What are peely nuts and jackfruit good for? Which super powerful plants are good for fighting sexual diseases? What plant will not burn and makes a great fire barrier around your home? I didn't just create this for you. I created it for me, too. Why buy it when you can grow it for free and have an endless supply of free food and medicine listen for the rest of your life. This amazing Power Pack book covers over 1,000 plants found all over the world. It shows you which ones are edible, which ones are poisonous, what they're used for. Over 2,500 full color images. This is the ultimate plant and health reference guide. Just as important is the second part of the book, a complete in-depth cross-reference of every health condition you can imagine and what plants have been historically used for those conditions. What plant do you take for nervousness? What plant repairs DNA? What plants are good for anxiety, insomnia? Which ones are good probiotic food? What plants can you make your own soap and toothpaste and shampoo with? What are the best healthy low glycemic sugar substitutes other than stevia? Which ones increase nutrient absorption and athletic performance? How about the performance in the bedroom? Even if you don't want to pick your own plants, at least know what to look for when you go to the health store. This section alone is worth the whole book. Once you start looking at this thing, you're not going to be able to put it down. You'll be amazed at what's out there, growing right outside your door. There's nothing else like this out there. This is a book every person, every household should have. The Free Food and Medicine Worldwide Edible Plant Guide. Get it at freefoodandmedicine.com.
Amazing.
You didn't mean that.
No, that's just our new catchphrase. So, real quick, which look up in a book which one helps to repair DNA?
Oh, God. Yeah, real quick. Yeah. So you got the answer?
I do.
Okay, which one is it?
Well, one I can't pronounce, but the other two I can.
Well, okay, if you give me the... Well, I can't really see in the dark, so it doesn't matter if you give me the page.
Cat's claw.
Cat's claw.
Watercress.
Watercress? Wow, that's even an easy one to grow. Okay.
And the last one is Gioguline.
Okay, so you can't pronounce it.
It's Jioguline.
Right. What page is that on?
That's a good question. I have to look it up. Anyways, we'll talk about that next week.
Really?
What? We're talking about egg fruit this week.
I know. Keep talking
well, we might talk about
boring,
it the week after next, or the week after the week after the week after the week after next.
You're talking about all these foreign plants that, which actually I think we can actually grow. By the way, that's on page 136. We can actually grow the egg fruit in the greenhouse. Can't let it get below 40 degrees. So you can grow it as a potted plant. And, you know, depending on the size of the plant that you got, you can typically get fruit from it on the first or second year. So.
Yeah.
It's no longer if you're growing it from seed.
So you can grow it indoors, or you can grow it in, like, California, Florida, places like that.
Florida, you might, California, you might get away with it for a while. It usually gets below freezing in the San Francisco Bay Area.
Southern California.
Southern California, you'd probably get away with it.
There is a fruit that I want to talk about next week that I discovered actually while we were talking about this fruit. Or while I was doing research on this fruit. It is a fruit, or it's a berry, that is a cross between a raspberry and a blackberry, and we can grow it in the Midwest.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah. I forgot the name of it now, but I gotta look it up again. which I'm sure I'll find it because I'll look for it. But that's what I wanted to talk about next week. But we can squeeze that or this other one in, the DNA one, between now and then. You might have to listen to our extended podcast in order to get more information on those. But anyways, yeah, this week.
Really, it grows in your immortality herb, the one that you were trying to pronounce, and I'm not going to try myself. Apparently, it grows in China. There's lots of areas in China that you can bring it over here and grow.
Exactly, as long as it's just look up the zones. If it's the same zone temperature, then there's a good chance you can grow it in your area. The soil might be different, but all you got to do is find out what kind of soil it likes and recreate that type of soil.
Well, now that we've spent almost half our time talking about something other than egg fruit.
This is true.
Sorry.
Now, I did not get a whole lot of information on egg fruit, but I did find some useful information. This one in particular is my favorite. When we started talking about it last week, I was under the impression that it had an egg taste and it was an egg substitute for vegans because someone had said something to that nature. Not David, but in my research. in our research of the other fruit that we talked about last week, which was the chay fruit. In my research this week, I found out that it does not taste like egg. It wouldn't really make an egg substitute for vegans. However, it does have the texture of egg, but it doesn't have the flavor of egg. It has a texture of the hard-boiled egg yolk, but it does not taste like a hard-boiled egg yolk. It tastes very fruity, and everybody says it's wonderful and delicious. So I'm going to have to try it one of these days.
I'm going to reference it that it tastes like egg custard.
Maybe that's what it was.
The closest to tasting like egg I've found is not exactly fruity, but, you know, not, it would be a sweet thing, not an eggy thing.
Well, that's one thing that I also learned. If it's imported, so if they pick it early and they ship it somewhere, then it might have more of an egg type flavor because it won't be ripe and it'll be more bland.
Anybody who's interested, another common name for it, and I'm going to spell it and then I'll attempt to pronounce it. It's C-A-N-I-S-T-E-L. Canistel? Canistel?
Something like that.
I don't know. Yeah, I'm guessing.
I think it's Canistel.
That seems to be Canistel. That sounds best. That's one of the very common names that keeps coming up every time I look it up. I think egg fruit's just, you know, kind of.
Actually, according to this website, there are about a dozen or more scientific names for it. Canistel is just one of them.
Right.
According to this website, basically pretty much all parts of the plant are edible or used for medicinal purposes, the bark, the seed, and the fruit itself. Primarily, it says the fruit is edible best when fully ripe and easily peelable. It's high in vitamin C, high in niacin, high in carotenes. Great for making milkshakes, jams, jellies, marmalades, and flavoring for ice cream. It's antioxidant. It's polyphenolics, which is an antioxidant. Good for dermatitis, good for antibacterial. The bark is used for immune disorders. Again, an antibacterial. Detox, anti-inflammatory, and I think that's about it. What do you got?
I'm looking at what Rothkranz has to say about it.
Oh, yeah, I didn't even really look at that. Go ahead, read what Rothkranz has to say from the Free Food and Medicine book.
Well, as far as its uses, uses an anti-cancer, anti-tumor, antimicrobial, anti-inflammatory, antifungal, antibacterial, and for candida, E. coli, etc. Tree is okay down to almost freezing, but not below. So, yeah, again, when it gets down to about, if you think it's going to get to 40 degrees or below, you bring your plant indoors. You've got vitamin A, vitamin C, niacin, selenium, calcium, I'm sorry, not selenium, calcium, iron, phosphorus. Yes, yeah. Can be used in custards, smoothies, or just eaten raw. It apparently is popular in Mexico, Florida, and Taiwan. Sorry, folks. I was looking down, so you probably couldn't hear me clearly.
We heard you.
And that's pretty much about all he added. And he has this is on page 284, and he has it under Canistel. And if that's not the correct pronunciation, hey, please call in and correct us anytime. Even 2 years from now, tell us, you know, hey, that plant is
blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, tell us how to pronounce it.
It says
or
here it's also
you might know about it.
It says here it's also good for strengthening muscles, improving cognition and brain health.
Right. So I need that.
It also reduces the risk for hypertension, lowers the risk of diabetes, improves health of joints and cartilage. Oh yeah, that was another thing I learned earlier too. It's good for the blood, it's good for the bones, and something else I forgot. The immune system, because it just says here, immune booster, it's immune system booster. Relieves constipation, which pretty much any fruit or berry will relieve constipation. Especially if it's high in vitamin C.
Oh, well, yes, that too.
Let's see here. A natural antimicrobial. Microbial. Yeah,
microbial.
It's a natural antimicrobial.
Yep, kills those microbes, bacteria including.
Yeah.
Kills viruses too.
Yeah, it also says it's anti-HIV.
Well, that'd be a virus.
Yep. Good for cancer. High in niacin, high in iron, carotenes, vitamin A. Fruit bark and seeds are edible, are ingestible. Let's see here. Oh, it's also good for insomnia, depression, ulcers, fevers, skin disorders. And the heart. Oh, hair, skin, and nails. Oh, good for the eyes. That was the other thing I was talking about earlier. It's good for the eyes. Which would make sense.
If it's not a superfood, it's pretty darn close.
They call it a superfood, actually.
There you go. Yeah, because as many areas as it's covered, so apparently it has more vitamins and nutrients than they've got listed in a lot of the deals. I mean, that's pretty much what makes it a superfood. It's full of nutrients. You know? It's full. How can I say it? It has more nutrients than your average food by far. And that's where your superfoods come in. They typically will cure cancer because, for the most part, there are exceptions, but for the most part, cancer is malnutrition. And
yep,
when you find... Go ahead.
Most diseases are a nutritional deficiency. Go ahead.
Well, yeah, and cancer is just the most severe nutritional deficient disease that you can get. And you find a food that has a shotgun of nutrition in it, like this egg fruit canistil.
Which tastes a whole lot better than hedge apples.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, everything tastes a whole hell lot better than hedge apples. except maybe death.
Except for maybe chemo.
Yeah, chemo it tastes worse than hedge apple. As we've been told by a few people who've gone through chemo. You find a food that's so full of nutrients that it's a shotgun of nutrients. It pretty well doesn't matter what cancer you got. It's got so many nutrients that it'll take care of it. You know, if you need iodine, it's got iodine. If you need more calcium, it's got calcium. If you need, and most people don't have that problem unless they have osteoporosis. But, you know, actually, I could be wrong about that. But anyway, calcium is a little bit more available than some of the other nutrients that we tend to lack.
Calcium, you know, is usually good. Well, is obviously good for bone health, but primarily for women, it also helps with the menstrual cycle and menopause. Obviously, birthing because you need more calcium for the baby, but. calcium will reduce the intenseness of the menstrual cycle, therefore making women less irritable, and will also do the same for menopause.
So you're saying that
calcium is a PMS cure.
So if you got PMS, go suck on a piece of limestone.
Something like that.
No. But that's, you got to watch it because a lot of your mineral supplements, that's exactly what they're giving you.
Oh, yeah. You want to eat plant
minerals. you need plant-based calcium as opposed
right.
to mineral-based calcium.
Rock
Very
calcium.
Few humans can handle rocks. That's why God put plants on this world, because they handle the rocks and turn them into organic minerals. And that's what you
Pretty
want.
Much.
You want the organic minerals.
Pretty much.
So, yeah, I was just joking when I was saying, you know, go suck on a piece of limestone.
Well, that would work, but you would have to suck on a lot of it because you only get like 3 to 5%.
Right, and you'd probably wear your teeth down doing it.
Pretty much.
Which would be a good source of organic calcium, but...
yeah.
After you've worn your teeth down, nothing, there's no more to get. So.
Yep.
Yeah, so actually, you know, bone broth would probably be a good one. But that's getting away from our subject.
Jackfruit.
Yeah, is that related? Is it
no.
a distant relative?
No, I'm just kidding.
Oh.
Egg fruit. Canistel.
Yep, I'll go with canistel until somebody corrects me.
Yeah.
I've got stuff on how to propagate it.
It's good for energy, high in vitamin Bs. Helps control blood sugar levels. What do you got?
On growing it?
Yeah. You got 3 minutes.
Well, in 3 minutes, I'll tell you, maybe I'll read this article after the podcast.
All righty.
But
so,
basically, keep it indoors when it gets below 40 degrees. Buy from a reputable source, grows fast.
Yeah, before when I was doing like YouTubes and stuff, basically the only thing I can get on it was how to grow it and how good it tastes and where to grow it. So I had to, you know, do some other research to get information, other information on it. But nonetheless, we're about out of time. So I'm now finally getting around to working on the freefoodandmedicine.org website. So soon enough, you'll be able to go there and listen to the rest of the story. Meanwhile, we will continue this podcast for another 30 minutes. And when I do get it uploaded, you can listen to the rest of it at freefoodandmedicine.org. Meanwhile, I don't know. I guess we'll talk to you later.
On the other side.
We'll see you on the other side.
Which is 3.